Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up! I want to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is off to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
How's it going, everybody? This is Contrer. This is Over the Top Radio, and I think I have Craig on the line. Craig, are you there?
Yes, you do have me on the line. How's it going?
It's going okay. I'm not used to this starting the show stuff, so I know it's horrible, so forgive me, everybody.
The last time I heard, Mr. Edward was going to be joining us this evening.
Yes, he just texted me, and he needed the call-in number, so he wanted me to host the show until he gets here.
Amazing.
He's pulling a rib on it since we're always late, I guess. I don't know.
Wow, joke's on us.
It sure is.
Whatever will we do?
So how's your week been, Craig?
It's been pretty good, actually. Got a lot of sunshine over here in the Seattle area.
We got too much sunshine here in Dallas.
Oh, yeah, I've heard. About 105, 110 over there.
Yeah, averaging about that.
Yeah, it's the hottest it's been today. It's about 80 degrees.
I'm ready for it to get in the fall and get some cooler weather coming in. I can stand this heat.
Yeah, that's why I live here. Yeah, just got off the deck. Put some huge T-bones on the grill. Oh, yeah.
So what's the update on the shirts? I read some in the update today. Let's all in on what's going on.
Well, thanks to Brian, I have to start getting them out quickly now because I was actually going to, you know, wait to actually start sending them out till Monday. But I went I went and picked them up yesterday in Woodinville. And you or anybody else who doesn't live in the Seattle area would have no idea, but going from Puyallup to Woodinville at about 4 o'clock, bad idea. It took me the 45-minute trip, 45 minutes up, 45 minutes back, took me right around 3.5 hours. So,
damn.
Yeah. But I have them. They're in hand. They look pretty good. Going to start packing them up later on this evening and getting them out probably tomorrow.
Excellent. I didn't order one, but excellent that you're getting them out.
Well, I got one in your size if you need one.
You don't even know my size.
I'm just guessing.
Well, it's not near either you or Ed's size, I can tell you that. So.
Yeah, that's pretty painfully obvious, actually.
So you have the news I sent you? Maybe we can get started on
that. Yeah. Really? We're just going to start without Eddie. I like it.
Let's not talk about SummerSlam. Yeah, we'll wait till he gets on and talk about that. So start from after SummerSlam.
Yeah, I was. I actually put a post up on the board if you want to call in with some SummerSlam thoughts, don't be afraid to do that. We'll be tackling SummerSlam here towards the
end of
the
broadcast. And you had to love that short broadcast. To the point description that I gave on the show. I just had nothing to put on there. Just want to talk SummerSlam in the news. Please listen.
I actually am going to the SmackDown house show here in Tacoma tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about that. They about 2 months ago, they had Sheamus on one of the local radio stations, and he went down this list of matches. He was going to work Daniel Bryan, that is, excuse me. And anyway, they came out after SummerSlam, and it's like everything that was on SummerSlam is going to be on this show. Tomorrow night is Christian and Randy Orton in a street fight. And Wade Barrett versus Daniel Bryan, Sheamus versus Mark Henry. There was one other match. Oh, Cody and Zeke. Yeah, which I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, it's going to be a fun show. I'm actually.
Well, those three matches, if they match up to the SummerSlam, should be a pretty good show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they all clicked really well on SummerSlam together. So I'm sure it'll be a good show. Also, Brian's got a jiu-jitsu tournament, so it'll just be me and my son and the missus tomorrow. So we're kind of on our own. Kind of weird going to a wrestling show with. Out of company, man, I guess. So
I haven't been to a wrestling show, live show, in since 2001. I went to the Royal Rumble in New Orleans.
Royal Rumble in New Orleans. And how long ago was that?
It was 2001. It had the Jericho-Benoit ladder match.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
It had Triple H and Kurt Angle. Eddie Christian and the Dudleys. China and Ivory. And the Royal Rumble had Drew Carey in it.
Yeah,
it was actually
It
was actually pretty cool because we're looking for tickets, and we had a friend of mine had a family friend that worked for, like, one of the soft drink companies, and, you know, they always get comp tickets to everything, you know, like sporting events and stuff like that. And so we got us these four tickets, and I looked at them, and it said luxury suite. Or luxury box.
Very nice.
So we got up there. We showed them our tickets. We got escorted to the luxury box and had pizza and beer all night. And didn't have to sit with the people.
Awesome.
But it's actually pretty fun. Joe Kane's pyro hit, and I tell you that shit was hot, even up in a luxury box. I couldn't imagine being on the ringside.
It's amazing how hot that is. The explosions and everything is so much... so much more impactful when you're right there. But to feel the heat off of Kane's pyro is just the most incredible thing. And to think that almost hit Undertaker in the face one time scares the crap out of me.
I remember that. Was it the Elimination Chamber or something a couple years ago? And they did the big pyro with him coming out. And all of a sudden, he's like walking really fast and jerking his coat off. And it kind of looks like he's just... so eager to whip somebody's ass, and I said, well, that's not like the Undertaker. You know, it takes him about 3 minutes just to walk to the ring. And I said, yeah, that was weird. And I think Peach Machine was actually at that show and said that he was, and he could see that Taker got caught in the fire, and they were dousing him with water and stuff when he finally got to the ring.
That was the second time that happened. The other time, I want to say it was on a Monday Night Raw. You know, he does the thing where he, you know, raises the lights back on. You know, when he's, like, up on the steps, you know? I can't remember what exactly happened, but he went to do that, and Kane's pyro went off right in front of his face. And the opening up of the fourth wall right there, as he looked at the cameraman and looked around with his eyes wide, and he was like, like he was going to kill somebody. I'm pretty sure it was a Monday Night Raw, but that was... like, oh my gosh, that would have melted his face like James Hetfield from Metallica when he got caught in the pyro. And I don't know if you remember that story, but anyway.
Is the one where they rioted when they canceled the show?
Yeah.
Like in Montreal or something? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, they were on tour with Guns N' Roses at the time, and then they Guns N' Roses caused a riot because they wouldn't play. So, but that's another story for another show. So,
okay.
Where do you want to start tonight? We've got
just start right after SummerSlam, you know, on that list, maybe.
Okay, this is a huge story, and if you haven't seen this, go to YouTube and check it out immediately. Story number one, a mouse invades Monday Night Raw. Apparently a mouse wanted to get a close-up look at the new WWE champion, Alberto Del Rio. TMZ has footage of the mouse running by Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez while they were standing on the floor during the final segment of Monday Night Raw. Arena's officials in San Diego tell TMZ they were pranked by someone who let a tiny white mouse on Raw during the final segment of the show. They wanted to make it clear the arena does not have a rodent problem. But I hear they
What's
do have rats. Ed, see what I did?
Yo, can you hear me?
Hey,
yeah.
There he is.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You'll never guess where I just finished eating that. We were only talking about it last week with Lance Storm.
Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I ate Cracker Barrel for the very first time. And
it's
it was
fine.
Actually quite tasty.
It's fine. I was, you know when somebody hypes something up really, really well and it's like the greatest thing in the world to them? And then when you have it, you're like, eh, it's all right. That
Craig,
was me at the Cracker Barrel.
You're just a downer, Craig. That's all it is, really. But the first thing I had to do was text Lance Storm and tell him I was at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. Yeah, we went to Florida WrestleMania a couple years ago. Brian saw Cracker Barrel and went nuts, and we had to go. And so the first thing on the way in, he texted Lance Storm. We're at the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I got a response saying, get the biscuit. but anyway, I'm only going to be on here for a couple minutes, guys. So just want to talk about, I just want to make fun of Craig for having an epic fail of a plan and causing everybody to go to the casino an hour early and they have to spend way more money than they expected to pay. So good job, Craig.
Well, I'll have you know that the lunch price and dinner price were about $3 or $4 in one way or the other. And to further exonerate myself, Granny was actually in there. And so I peeked over the wall and I hollered at Granny. And she goes, I got these two tables saved. And so I used my golden tongue and charmed a waitress. And they let us in early. So we got in there and hung out and it was all good. So we were only about 15 minutes behind Granny anyway, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, so
you're
sure
making a big to-do about nothing.
I'm sure everyone's pissed off at you, but it's all right. But my stop China buffet was okay. There was a small party. It was just me, Barb, her mom, and everybody's favorite, Supersonic, who was actually on his best behavior. And didn't become very annoying until the actual SummerSlam pay-per-view where it was just me and him. And he wouldn't shut up about the whole thing. But as far as the buffet was actually pretty good. And it was a success, I would imagine.
I do agree.
Well, she's not saying it loud enough, but she agreed. But yeah, super fine. It was fine. SummerSlam was... it was okay. It wasn't as good as the last pay-per-view. But I enjoyed it. And it was cool. But other than that, guys, I really don't have too much. So I'll go ahead and let you guys get back to the news. I just wanted to check in.
And, do you mind me asking how everything's going with you?
Up and down. You know,
okay.
Basically, you know. I have my moments. You know, luckily I have friends to keep me distracted. So
I do you mind talking about it here? I mean, I can text you later. It's, you know, completely up to you.
Well, I'll just give everyone an update in case everyone's worried. My dad had open heart surgery the other day, and basically his health hasn't been very well the last few years. He's already had a liver transplant, and he was already needing a kidney transplant, which I don't think he'd probably be able to get now. But I guess they were worried about the kidney thing, and then they just happened to realize that his arteries were pretty clogged and had to get the open heart surgery. And even though he had needed the kidney thing, he still wasn't on the dialysis, but unfortunately they had to put him on dialysis the day before. So he's in a... I don't know, it's like they say everything looks good, but, you know, maybe that's what the machines are saying from his appearance. It's very hard. You know, he's not looking in the best shape. So we'll just see what's going to happen. I'm really not too sure, but like I say, he hasn't gotten worse, and they're optimistic, but visually, you know, it's a different story. So, you know, we'll see. It's been rough, but like I say, you know, I got people distracting me here, so you know, well, hopefully everything will work out either way.
Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty much the update.
Okay.
But yeah, guys, I'll go ahead and oh, thank you, I appreciate that, and I appreciate everyone that commented on my Facebook, and I really appreciate that, and. I hopefully will be back in full force next week, but we're actually getting to where we are going, so I need to go ahead and get off the line here. So everybody,
okay,
come back next week. Hopefully we'll have a good show. I'll go ahead, because I know you guys are gonna screw everything up. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. And I am very much looking forward to listening to this show, because you two fools can't handle 2 minutes by yourselves, and I'm curious to see how you're going to do an hour.
Okay. Me too.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
thank
you, Rid. You guys take it easy, and I will talk to you guys later.
Yeah, take care, bud.
Bye-bye.
Well, how do you follow that?
We're being punked or something.
Yeah.
You see me on the line, Marcio.
It's like a ruse. It's he's testing us. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, what if we do really good?
And we'll get rid of his ass. But yeah, that sucks about his ass. I had a family member pass away from like complications and stuff a few months ago, and it sucks. So wish his dad all the best.
Yeah, absolutely. It's no good. You know, I had.
I'm getting to the age where I got to start worrying about my parents too. So, you know.
Oof. Yeah, I lost both my grandmothers last year, and my grandfather on my mom's side could go at any time. And I haven't had a full conversation with my other grandfather in over 2 years because he has Alzheimer's, so he could go at any time. So.
Yeah, not like
my
parents are in bad health or anything, but. You know, it's just, I'm almost 40, and it's getting near that time where you got to think about stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah, not so much with your folks, but it seems like, you know, I had all my grandparents till I was 38. That's crazy, you know.
I had all my grandparents till I was 30.
Yeah, I got lucky. Luckily,
my grandparents got divorced, so I got an extra grandparent, so that I didn't count, so I still got her, like a step grandparent. But it's the same thing. That makes no sense. Continue with the news.
Yes, let's continue with the news and get off of this downer stuff. Yeah, Eddie stepped all over my joke. You know, they talking about the mouse on Monday Night Raw. It says they wanted to make it clear that the arenas did not have a rodent problem, but my joke was the WWE still has a rat problem. Okay. Anyway, getting on to the next story.
I was just going to say, what are the odds of somebody sneaking that in and making it on camera?
you know, I'm always shocked and amazed what people drag into concerts or sporting events. When I was a senior, 10th grade in high school, went to an AC/DC show, and some guy actually brought in a mortar rocket and managed to light it off. And to this day, if you look up at the top of the Tacoma Dome, there are cinder singe marks from where this thing hit the top of the Tacoma Dome.
What are the odds of that mouth making camera with somebody doing that, and you know, right at that moment, unless it's somebody like right by the railing and just dropped the mouse over when the camera was on them or something. I don't know. It just seems like why would you think of doing something like that?
I have no idea. If Jake would have had his snake there, though, this would have been remedied immediately.
Well, maybe Jake was in the back and the lunch got away.
Hmm. Yeah, sure. So anyway, moving right along, Terry Runnels files lawsuit against New Jack. Terry Runnels, 44, filed a liable lawsuit against her former boyfriend, Jerome New Jack Young, 47, on the 15th of this month in a state circuit court in Florida. The two were together for about 18 months, and after breaking up, Young has buried her at every turn. Reynolds got a temporary injunction against Young on the 12th, barring him from being able to sell nude photos of her that he had taken. The lawsuit claims Young has said publicly Reynolds pops pain pills and drinks vodka starting at 5:30 a.m. every morning, and she exposes people to sexually transmitted diseases. Young claimed in another interview that he had photos of Runnels giving him oral sex after he gigged her upon request.
What?
Yeah,
I did see a photo of Terry Runnels on the board one day.
Uh-huh.
It did not look good.
I am speechless. Okay, and here's the really horrible. And he also claimed that her daughter, Dakota, had found the photos. Ugh. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
It's disgusting.
I remember, oddly enough,
all I'm thinking about is this little girl I saw run into the ring back in 1997 on Monday Night Raw with Goldust and Marlena. Do you remember when they brought her out?
Yeah, I do. Oh, that poor child.
That's too much of a twisted situation for me to, I don't even know what to think about all that.
Oddly enough, New Jack is one of my friends on Facebook, and to say that he has been mean would be the understatement of the year. He has posted links, he's posted different pictures of her, not nude or anything, but he has been downright rude to Miss Runnels, and calling her a whore and a slut and so forth and so on. But after reading this story, apparently he hasn't touched the tip of the iceberg with his Facebook posts. And if you find him on there now, he has another young lady that he is blatantly throwing up pictures of those two carrying on, probably just to spite her. So,
clearly,
an
upstanding member of society he is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a joke in my brain about mass transit and when he gigged him, but I'm going to leave that one alone. Anyway, Sci-Fi is going to air SmackDown live on August 30th. WWE SmackDown will air live on August 30th, which is a Tuesday night. SmackDown that night will take place in Wichita, Kansas, and it is going to be called Super SmackDown. It will also air in its usual time slot on Friday, September 2nd, but it will be a replay of the Tuesday night show.
I guess I have to watch SmackDown for once.
I'm always
go out of my way to watch a live show more than when it's been taped and I know what happens. some
right.
reason.
You know, I don't think I've watched a full episode of SmackDown in probably about 3 months. I'll see that there's a good match on, and I'll go out of my way to watch it. If there's a good storyline or something like that, you know, I'll hear it from, you know, numerous radio shows, and then I'll go out of my way to see it. But to say I've watched one from beginning to end would be a flat-out lie. It is also funny.
They said that there was a pretty good Alberto Del Rio-Daniel Bryan match on tonight.
Well, see, I'll go out of my way to see that. It is funny that one of the news items that you didn't, you know, copy and paste, I understand why. You're not a UFC fan, but they, of course...
Oh, because they're just too damn long.
That's true. If UFC has a, you know, a $90 million deal with Fox, and they're going to start running The Ultimate Fighter on Friday nights, so I'm kind of hoping SmackDown will move to another night, and I obviously don't see any problem with Tuesday. It's just kind of funny that this is going to be happening at the end of the month, and so forth and so on, but I hope they do live shows.
There was some talk that it was being done because, you know, that's Labor Day weekend, so, and the rating would probably be down, not get many viewers, so they were going to just move it up earlier.
Yeah,
they can go live on Tuesdays every week. I know it would be extra expense, you know, going live, but they're already taping there. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Apparently the fights on Ultimate Fighter are going to be live. You know, it's not going to be taped.
Yeah, that's
fights.
So crazy. Yeah, they're going to shoot episodes from the house, you know, for the first couple days during the week, and then the fight to determine who stays or who goes is going to be actually a live fight. So that's really cool.
Now Spike stuck with TNA as their highest rated show. That's sad.
Isn't it? You know, I watched a show on there the other night. This is totally off topic, but it's called Auction Hunters. And these two jabrones go in and they buy locker storage spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they bid on them and whatnot. Well, they picked up like this storage locker for like $300, and there was like some artwork in there, and there was some collectible toys, and there was all this stuff, and they ended up netting $12,000 off this $300 investment. And of course, I'm the lemming on the other side of the TV, going, I need to go buy me a locker space immediately. But
I know.
Other
I watch,
than that, I haven't.
I watch Storage Wars on A&E. You ever watch that?
Yeah, it's about the same thing.
It's the same thing. And
yeah.
And they found like this couple. I think paid like maybe, I don't know, maybe $1,000 for a locker, and they found like these limited edition like superhero action figures that were still in the cases that were like back from like the 70s or something like that, and they got like $20,000 for them. So.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, so what I was getting to is that's like the only other show I've ever watched on Spike. I mean, I have no rhyme or reason why I should watch A Thousand Ways to Die
or Jail
or insert name of stupid show here. But anyway, again, moving along. Details on the upcoming Steve Austin DVD. Jim Ross this week discussed more details about the upcoming DVD that will be released in November. The Austin 4 DVD set will be in stores around the end of November and should be on the shelves nationwide for the holidays. Ross says, Austin and I did commentary on Steve's WrestleMania bouts versus Bret Hart, HBK, and The Rock. And even though these matches have been on other DVDs, they have never had our alternative commentary, which will provide fans with a unique look inside our matches in both inside those matches. Look for informative and humor at times. This was one of the most enjoyable broadcasting experiences I've had in years. The closing music video for the 2+ hour documentary portion of Austin's DVD is as moving as any I have ever experienced in the business. Steve was really hands-on the production of this DVD, which makes it more personal and special.
Plus, it includes a visit to his South Texas Broken Skull Ranch. That's an awesome name for a ranch. Many major names in the business are included on the, with comments on the DVD, including Vince McMahon, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, Christian, CM Punk, The Rock, Paul Heyman, and Dirty Dutch Mantel, and many others. So this looks and sounds outstanding.
Yeah. They're going to have some that and the Brett and Shawn DVD coming out later this year, you know. I'm going to have to make me some DVD purchases. I won't be watching, you know, I won't be watching these on the computer or downloading them. I'm going to go out and buy these because they sound awesome.
You know, oddly enough, last weekend, I know I am so late to the table on this, but I downloaded Netflix on my on my PlayStation 3. And they have a ton of WWE stuff on there.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of them. They got they got the True Story of WrestleMania. They got the new Rey Mysterio DVD. They got the Macho Man. I think they got the Greatest Cage Matches. They got WCW Best of Nitro, and a bunch of they got the 50 Greatest Stars in WWE History.
Yeah,
and the Hart Family documentary is on there. A bunch of good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I tried sitting through the Best of Nitro. Oof. I remember that as better at the time. It doesn't hold up well. I'll just leave it at that.
You ought to check out the True Story of WrestleMania. That's like one of the best ones they've ever done.
I heard it wasn't historically correct, and I heard that
but still all the same, it's pretty damn good. They got a bunch of old footage in there. And a bunch of, like, exclusive backstage footage from all the WrestleManias and stuff like that. It's really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right. Maybe I'll check it out.
Each WrestleMania one by one and just, like, give the story of that specific WrestleMania. You know, like, what was going on with the matches were, what was going on behind the scenes and stuff like that. It's pretty good stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check that out. Oddly enough, when I downloaded it and I found all the WWE content, my wife looked at me and she said something along the lines of, as if you don't spend enough time with me already. So I have to be very cautious on this.
I've been watching Netflix this week. I've gotten hooked on the show Prison Break. Have you ever watched that?
Never have.
Awesome.
Never
show.
Have.
It is one of those when the first few episodes, I didn't want to stop watching. Taking up all my free time. Awesome.
Ring of Honor announces WrestleMania weekend events in Fort Lauderdale. ROH will present two live events, this time emanating from one of Florida's historic wrestling venues, the War Memorial Auditorium in Fort Lauderdale. The venue has played host to exciting events for years, and now ROH will bring to it the best pro wrestling in the world. Today on Friday night, March 30th, 2012, and Saturday afternoon, March 31st, 2012. Tickets for both of these events will go on sale Friday, September 9th at 10 a.m. Rodney, let me know how much I owe you, at ROHWrestling.com and also at Ticketmaster. And I will go on record.
Miami.
What's that?
I said, how far is that from Miami?
I want to say it's just up the road, but I'm not 100%. I want to say it's maybe 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah, so not too far. So it's not like you're going on this big extra road trip or anything like that to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, they do really well about keeping everything very close. The only thing last year was when we went out to the Dragon Gate show. It was a haul. But other than that, everything was pretty close. And I'll just go on record. Most of the time when we go to the Ring of Honor shows, the production is not as good as WrestleMania. I know you're all picking yourselves off the floor right now, but the in-ring stuff is just incredible, and I actually look forward to ROH more going, but when I get done with the Mania weekend, I go, you know, WrestleMania was awesome, but ROH never, ever disappoints.
It's like saying the Friday night high school football game doesn't have the production level of the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, the next story, it makes me so very, very sad. Jimmy Yang still upset over not being paid by TNA. Jimmy Yang twittered this week again about not being paid for his TV appearance last month. 7 weeks and still no check. Somebody called me and said I was being unprofessional. Not paying someone for a job is unprofessional. What do they owe him, like $250, $300?
$250. I wonder if this is, you know, it's kind of strange over here hearing this, and it's like Terry Taylor just left the front office. Wasn't he the guy that was always paying everyone or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, and they fired him, so nobody's writing checks now?
Apparently they're writing them. There's just no funds that they just, you know, they're rubber.
Oh, right. Yeah, you can write checks all day long. If you don't have any money in the bank, then, oh, goodness.
Right, Spike TV, you can't give the guys $250.
Mm.
Or,
yeah. You know, I've been, hello, Mr. IRS man, but I've been paid in cash for all my wrestling appearances that I've ever done. Now, granted, it was $20, but hey.
It says a lot that he's saying this because, you know, he must not have had a very good experience overall, or else he wouldn't be complaining publicly like this or something. You know, might not get work in the future there.
Yeah, it's so sad. I mean, I would venture to guess that Hulk Hogan has never had a check that has bounced. Just saying.
I can understand, like, if it's like late 90s ECW or something like that, because they're still obviously running like on a shoestring budget and everything like that. And, you know, checks are bouncing left and right and stuff like that. But you got to show them Spike TV and I don't know.
Yeah. They have some income. They don't have tons of bills, you know, and they've got a money mark. Come on. Pay
and
guys.
Spike TV throws in some money for stuff too. So.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's stuff you read about, you know, the last days of WCW. That's, that place, I don't think it's going to be, make it past, all of 2012. I will go
well,
on record.
I don't think
I
ever heard
that.
Any stories about WCW giving people bad checks.
I do remember stories about them giving people checks that actually had not wrestled. Like, I'll tell you.
So
yeah, he just shows up and, you know, people, or he didn't show up and people were, he was getting checks right and left. We've got two Hulk Hogan stories, but I'm going to read them after this one. The title is very easy. It just says recent released TNA tag team gets WWE tryout. There's a lot more to this story. The former tag team Generation Me, a.k.a. the Young Bucks, had a tryout with WWE this Monday on Monday Night Raw. This is not the end of the story. Apparently, they caused some, they got some heat backstage because they didn't shake hands with some of the older wrestlers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Booker T, Goldust.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they've been reading on Twitter. First off, Booker T on Twitter, he can't spell. He can't speak English. Better do it on commentary. I don't understand what the hell he's saying on that damn Twitter. I don't know. Speaking Ebonics or something. I don't know what the deal is because I can't decipher his writing. It makes no sense to me.
Think about that.
Yeah.
They rubbed some people the wrong way. You know, I've been in the back. Okay, it was just once. But basically I was told, don't make a scene. So when you don't make a scene, you don't run up to people shaking hands going, hey, hello, Mr. Bret Hart, how are you doing? You know what I mean? You don't act like a mark. There was a time when WCW ran Vancouver, some of the ECCW guys actually were there for quote-unquote talent enhancement. And they made a huge scene, and, you know, people were going up and asking for autographs. They were asking for pictures to being – so they went back there and acted like total marks. And so the time that Thunder rolled around to the Seattle area and in Spokane and whatnot, they kicked everybody out of the locker room, and they didn't have any quote unquote enhancement talent because of how nutty things were at the Vancouver Nitro tapings.
Hmm.
Yeah. So,
well,
you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So,
well, this whole thing started with, you know, because RVD did an interview and said that, you know, you had these two guys that just left. He didn't say them by name, but you could tell who he was talking about, that they, I don't know, they didn't shake his hand and they never came to him for advice in the locker room. And Booker T's like real good friends with RVD, so I don't know, maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. The whole thing sounds stupid to me.
Absolutely.
It's just one of those, I don't know, one of those things that, let's see, they're, apparently the Young Bucks have a brother named Malachi, and he's been on Twitter. And he said, Booker T is a little 12-year-old girl going on his Young Bucks rant. he says, Booker T is jealous of the Young Bucks because they can't do because he can't do half of what the Bucks can do in the ring. And Ricardo Rodriguez says, Booker T is mad because they supposedly didn't say hi to him, so Booker T is trashing the Bucks. It's just a bunch of... First, I hate when the people use their names. They had to use these goofy symbols like at Booker T five times or something, like that's their handle or something like that. I don't understand it. It's confusing to me.
Yeah. I'm not on Twitter either, so... I'm not on Twitter, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, shoot. I just had something on the tip of my tongue, and I lost it, so I will move along. A couple of Hulk Hogan stories in the news. Hulk Hogan and Vince Russo get into an argument backstage at Hardcore Justice. There was a major argument between Hulk Hogan and TNA head writer Vince Russo at Hardcore Justice at the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view regarding the finish of the Kurt Angle versus Sting main event. Hogan was frustrated enough that he was telling people that Russo doesn't know anything because he's never been a wrestler. Hogan and Russo made up at the Impact tapings. However, there has been noticeable tension among some of the power players in the company. But of course, we know that's whoever has the belt. And the last 3 days of Impact tapings to follow. There was a lot of grumbling backstage regarding Eric Bischoff. The feeling was that some of the wrestlers in the company is that he's snobbish and arrogant, and some of his criticisms over the in-ring work are falling on deaf ears because some of the talent doesn't respect his opinions regarding in-ring work. Wow, there's tension and arguments in TNA. Knock me over with a feather.
And apparently Scott Baio is coming in to fight Eric Young.
Seriously?
Yes, I'm 100% serious. You know, Bischoff did that Scott Baio reality show on VH1 or something. He and Jason Hervey did that, so they're bringing him in to fight Eric Young.
Oh, good God.
Eric Young versus Chachi.
Oh, my goodness. I am stunned right now.
That sounds like something I almost need to see.
It's going to be a train wreck. I just had a vision of Jay Leno in a wrestling ring. We
with
all know that, how that turned out.
With Hulk Hogan in an armbar. That's what Kevin Sullivan said. Kevin Sullivan said he knew it was over for WCW when he saw Jay Leno had Hulk Hogan in an armbar on the front
That's
page
right.
of the newspaper.
Unreal. Actually, this next story actually made some headlines on my local radio station that I listen to in the mornings. Hulk Hogan responds to allegations made by Linda Hogan that he was in a homosexual relationship with Brutus Beefcake. Linda Hogan implied her ex-husband Hulk Hogan had a homosexual relationship with longtime friend Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Hogan responded on Twitter by saying, Feel sorry for Linda Hogan. I can't believe how low a person will go. even to lie and to hurt others just to stay in her perverted, spotlight. She will have to answer to the power upstairs for her evil lifestyle. I can only pray for her. What a wasted life. God bless her.
She comes off like a gold digger.
Oh, I'll say. You know, I'll say this. In all of this drama with Hogan and his wife, and she's banging, you know, a high school kid, and he's going off and dating a girl that's Brooke's friend, and then he ends up getting married, and there's all this drama and all this chaos in the Hogan's life. And Hogan, on record, has been so kind to this broad.
Yeah.
And has, I don't think I've read anything where he's buried her or he's made allegations against her. I haven't. He's been an upstanding citizen through this whole thing. And everything I've seen out of this broad's mouth about Hogan has been horrible.
Yeah, especially when you consider that their kids are also, like, out there in the public eye and stuff. And I don't know. It's kind of disgusting to me to be seeing stuff like that about the father of your kids. And I don't know.
I actually heard – you can find the audio on YouTube of Linda. She did a interview with an internet radio show, oddly enough, which – you know, a light bulb actually went off over my head. I wonder if I can get Linda on the show. But anyway, and they played the audio, and I was just dumbfounded. The question wasn't even directed at a homosexual relationship with Hogan and Beefcake, but and of course the wacky DJs in the morning, they're, you know, hey, Hogan and Beefcake, that sounds like a couple of gay tag team wrestlers, and, you know. And, you know, they were right. I mean, the writing was on the wall. Have you seen Brutus Barker, the Beefcake's ring attire? You know that very, very homosexual. But anyway, I'm sure it's all stupid. She went on to say in the interview that she thought the Ultimate Warrior was also gay. You know, there was allegations that Hogan actually offered up Linda to Warrior years ago, and it was just they did.
I don't buy any of this bullshit. I'm sorry. It's just too, you know, it's too out there for me to believe. I just don't.
Absolutely.
I mean, she said something about, you know, he always had his steroids with him. I don't have a problem believing that, but.
Right.
All this other stuff from, like, Warrior and stuff like that, I don't know. Everybody just shut up.
I was always told when there's smoke, there's fire. We would have seen smoke a long time ago if any of this would have came out.
Yeah.
Just saying. Just saying. Yeah, she's a piece of work. Just being honest.
This thing has gone downhill ever since before Rick.
Yeah, now it's just a train wreck. We're going to go in our review of SummerSlam right now. If you're listening to us live, you can give us a call at 347-850-8933. That is 347-850-8933. And if you happen to catch SummerSlam, why don't you give us a call and tell us what you thought of the show. Of course, Ed gave his thoughts on the show and said, quite frankly, it wasn't as good as last month's pay-per-view.
Well, it would have been hard to do that.
Yeah,
that was
absolutely.
Just like one of those six. It was like one of those once every 10 year shows, you know, like Canadian Stampede, where you had that atmosphere in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And you had kind of the same thing in Chicago. It's just one of those shows that don't come along. It's almost impossible to, like, live up to a show like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still thought it was an awesome show, SummerSlam was. I thought it was a great show.
Yeah, after I got done watching that pay-per-view last month, I just determined this is one of the ones I have to have on DVD or Blu-ray. I yeah, I'm going to go get it next week when it comes out. It's just that good of a show. But we actually got to Brian's about an hour late to watch the pay-per-view, and we were watching the pre-show, and as Vinny pointed out on his little radio show that he does, that we were teased that, you know, to say, if you want to see Miz wrestle, possibly maybe, drop $60 and find out if Miz has a match. oddly enough, the first match was Rey Mysterio, Kofi Kingston, and John Morrison versus Alberto Del Rio, The Miz, and R-Truth.
And right when the show went on the air with all the fireworks, you knew Miz was coming out. They flashed to the Titantron and you saw the big awesome balloons out there.
Yeah. It was pretty evident that, of course, Miz was wrestling. And this was a pretty good match. The finish was Mysterio pinning Truth. Match was good. Match was fast-paced. John Morrison is going to kill himself and be out of action even longer. He should not be doing a third of the stuff he's doing right now. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a good match.
Next up, it was a good match. The next up, we had Mark Henry defeating Sheamus via countout at the just over the 9-minute mark. The highlight by far of this match is they did a spot where Sheamus and Mark Henry flew through the dasher boards and into the crowd, and one Joey Ryan of ROH fame jumped up and screamed like a little girl. He had his he had his hands over his mouth. He was stunned. He was shocked. He did better selling than the man who just went through the dasher boards. He was phenomenal. The only hole in this whole thing was that there were at least 24 jacked up indie workers all around the area, and if none of these men are in a WWE crowd, especially that close together. Anyway, Joey Ryan was phenomenal, and they should hire him and just make him sit in the crowd every week.
I think he got a tryout this week, too. Maybe a Raw or something like that. This was a pretty damn good match.
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah, for Mark Henry standards, this was way up there.
I'm digging Sheamus as a babyface. I really like him.
Yeah. I actually will be seeing this this match tomorrow night. So
I thought they did a good job of, you know, they put they still got Henry over as like the huge monster who went through the barricade, but Sheamus saved some face too by almost making it back for the 10 count, so he didn't lose much.
If Mark Henry is in fact going to be facing Randy Orton at the next pay-per-view, I would expect that within the next couple of weeks he puts a beating on Sheamus or destroys some more people or whatever, but I'd really like to see Sheamus higher up on the card.
Yeah.
He's just good, you know. He's good, and as a babyface, I actually can well, I think he's more serious now that he doesn't have the crown and the cape. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, yeah. He didn't look like a fool.
Something I couldn't take serious was the next matchup. The WWE's Divas champion, Kelly Kelly, pinned Beth Phoenix in 6 minutes and 31 seconds. Whose idea was this?
I enjoyed this match. I thought Kelly, this is the best Kelly's ever looked in the ring.
To WWE Diva standards championship matches, this one was not horrible. They could have shaved about 2 minutes off the time, though.
Yeah, I thought she showed like a lot of, you know, good fire in the beginning. She was really taking it to Beth, and the finish was really well done with the into the glam slam. But she got on her shoulder, did a victory roll.
Yeah,
I thought that was a good.
Yeah.
I'm always scared when Kelly does stuff, you know, like high spots like that, because I don't know. Something bad's going to happen one day.
Yeah, she's too frail to be falling on her head is, you know, what I'm concerned about. Beth Phoenix had a ridiculous outfit on. She was continually adjusting and stuffing and moving and retaping and you name it, she had to stay in this.
In the middle of the reversal of an Irish whip, she was zipping her top up.
Yeah, so
that's funny.
Epic fail on the attire for Beth Phoenix from SummerSlam.
And I expect Beth to beat her at next pay-per-view.
If not before. Absolutely.
Yeah. Kelly got a quick little 1-2-3, so.
Yeah. She did a victory roll out of the implant buster. And
maybe they'll build Beth up when maybe, hopefully, Karma comes back sometime next year. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Oh, if Beth and Natalya run roughshod over the women's division for the next 6 months and Karma can come back in, you know, another 8 months or whatever, that would be pretty awesome, actually. A heel stable.
I actually would like to see Natalya against Beth.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad, actually. That's not a bad idea. Next matchup was Wade Barrett pinning Daniel Bryan in 11 minutes and 46 seconds. Up until this point, easily the best match on the show. The crowd crapped all over it, but these guys actually worked a good, strong-style, fast-paced match. I really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, me too.
I think this might have been... Again, we were over at Brian Alvarez's place watching this pay-per-view, and Chris Rizik, who is the ideal reflection, he's a very pretty wrestler, and pretty by boy standards, if you know what I mean. He brought his wife with him, and at one point she announced, "Who are these two guys? I want to see a real superstar like RVD." You ever watch those old movies and there'll be a party scene going on, people will be drinking punch and they'll be dancing and you know, there'll be somebody will say something and the record will scratch and the party will come to a halt? Yeah, that's what happened.
Everybody turned looks.
Yeah. I looked at her, and then I looked at Matt Farmer, and Matt Farmer looked at me, and then we giggled, and anyway, this was a heck of a match, and this is also, I'll be seeing this match tomorrow, so I'm excited to see that. Daniel Bryan back in his hometown, well, home state. The next matchup was
probably
Randy Orton. Yeah, I hope not, but yeah, you're probably right. Next matchup was Randy Orton pinning Christian in 23 minutes and some change in a no-holds-barred matchup, and they beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, Randy Orton, he had, like, several gashes, like, all over his body in certain places, like in the mouth and in his hands and stuff like that.
He
need to be careful from now on, standing on those tables. Last time it almost ended in tragedy.
Did you see that? The way they bumped on that table, they decided to bump closer to the edge of the table where it wasn't enforced, as where usually they were bumping in the middle of the table, but the back on the table was making it so the table wouldn't break.
Yeah.
So therefore, they decided to go to the edge of the table, and they got to be careful. Somebody's going to get hurt. But at one point, there was a table set up in the ring, and it was against the corner. Randy gave Christian a power slam through the table, and I don't know exactly what happened, but he came up and his thumb was just gushing blood. He wiped the side of his face, and I'm glad they didn't send an EMT out there to you know, patch it up like they had done in past times. But
yeah, I guess if it's not on the head, it don't matter,
I guess. And the finish was Christian coming off the top with more than likely he was going to do the sunset flip deal, but Orton turned it into an RKO on top of the steps. And when he did it, you could see the back of his skull bouncing off the steps. So, yeah, a heck of a match. They beat the snot out of each other, and this was easily the best match on the show.
Yeah, another spot in the match, was when the table, it wasn't even set up. It was just laying in the ring, and he did a superplex on the top rope on the table. I said, well, it probably would have felt better to go through the table.
The setup table would have broken his fall, but no, they crashed onto it and actually cracked the table. So, yeah, no good.
I was wondering, if he was going to hit that sunset flip, I was wondering where he was going to go with all that crap in the ring.
That's
kind of looked a little goofy.
Yeah, don't overanalyze this. Make it not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And in the main event, we have CM Punk pinning John Cena in 24 minutes and 10 seconds to win the WWE title. Triple H was the ref, and they had a pretty decent match. It wasn't as good as last month's, but Triple H was basically there to, quote-unquote, call it down the middle, and he did. There was a great spot where Cena and Punk were both outside, and Triple H had the 10 count on them, and got to 9, and instead of counting 10, he jumped out and just tossed them both back in the ring so the match could continue, putting him over as the unbiased referee. Of course, unless you've been living under a rock for the past week, Kevin Nash lurched into the ring. You could have timed this man with a sundial. It took him that long to get over the dasher boards. He attacked CM Punk and gave him the jackknife powerbomb. Again, the record deal, same thing. In the room I was in, we were like, really? And a brutal powerbomb, by the way. Good night. He just killed him with this jackknife powerbomb. And Alberto Del Rio, of course, appeared, cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase, and pinned Punk after a Shining Wizard to win the WWE title.
I would say this. I like Kevin Nash. I have a perverse need to see CM Punk against Kevin Nash for some reason.
Oh, me too.
I don't know why. It just seems like something out of a different dimension, a match you might say. I don't know.
You know, the only reason I really want to see this, and I don't think the match is going to be 5 stars. I know.
Oh, no.
Right. But it is something entirely different.
Yeah, it is.
It's not John Cena against Randy Orton. It's not John Cena against The Miz. It's not John Cena against insert name of guy here. It's something totally different. So Kevin Nash and CM Punk, even if the match is bad, at least it'll be something new.
Plus, I see how good CM Punk really is if he has to face Kevin Nash.
That's very true. I'm sure he'll... I'm getting visions of Hogan and HBK in the ring. I'm sure CM Punk is going to bump all over the place for Kevin Nash and then hopefully eke out a win in the end. What'd you think of the Monday night back and forth that the two had?
I liked it because I got everything that they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But, to the mass audience, I think a lot of people would be confused. I mean, every inside reference, I knew exactly what they were talking about, and I'm sure you did too. So.
Oh yeah.
But
to the mass
audience, I don't mind stuff like that just because I know everything, and I know what they're talking about. But the mass audience, I think, would be a little confused when you do stuff like that. You don't need to do too much of that stuff.
Yeah, I could see the point. That Dave and Brian were making about, maybe 10-20% of the people got this. But to me, I was thoroughly entertained, so I didn't care if you got it or not. But there was some great stuff in there. Obviously, a lot of it was off the cuff, so I wonder if there's any legit heat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I was just laughing. The best line was when Punk was reading the text from his sister.
Mm-hmm.
He said, OMG, I thought he was dead, LOL, or something like that. I laughed my ass off at that. And Punk did get the best of that exchange, because you can see Nash got a little flustered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was
I know,
that
I thought
was incredible.
You know, they had the guards there. And I said, you know, I like seeing Punk, but if he gets in the ring with Nash, like in a real fight, I'm expecting Kevin Nash to probably kick his ass.
Yeah. Yeah, so what did you need the security there for, except
yeah,
for to
really,
except for to make people, you know, not believe that Kevin Nash could beat up CM Punk. I mean, let's be honest.
And I like the Alberto Rey Mysterio match on Monday. I thought that was a pretty good match too.
Yeah, that was real good.
I like how it kind of gave him a little after winning, after you know cashing in, it gave him like a little bit more of a legitimate win, make him a more legitimate champion. So good stuff.
Yeah, it was tough watching Ray run the ropes. Good night. He just I hope he takes some time off.
Yeah, and Cena cut one of his best promos, I think, afterwards.
Yeah, that was good stuff too. That's really the last 3 months of WWE is really ramped up. I mean, the in-ring work is better. The storylines are better. I'm actually interested and curious about, where they're going. It's just been, real nice. Something I haven't seen in years.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to, like I said, like the Nash Punk thing, because it's ultimately going to lead to, you know, Triple H against Punk, which I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, I think that'll be a phenomenal match. I think it'll be real good. I wonder if they'll take that all the way to Mania.
I don't know.
That would definitely.
Yeah, but yeah, so the seed for another Triple H and Undertaker match at Mania, you know, earlier this year. So. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a perfect Mania match.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a good semi-main with behind Cena and Rock on top, you know.
And I'm hoping
no
they
problem
like
with that at all.
Heel turn, because he hasn't been a heel for like 6 years. So I'm kind of interested in seeing him be a heel again.
Yeah, I like how they... you know, when Kevin Nash was talking about how he, quote-unquote, got the text from Hunter, you know, stick it to the winner, this, that, and the other thing. I liked it how Triple H never made a on-screen presence on Monday night to keep the story interesting. So, you know, we have to tune in next week to see Triple H's rebuttal that, oh, you know, hey, I didn't send the text, you know. You know, maybe they could throw a swerve at us and maybe Stephanie sent the text to Nash. You know, who knows?
John Laurinaitis?
Oh, yeah, John Laurinaitis. Yeah, I just don't see enough of him on TV. talk about somebody that sucks the charisma out of a room. Goodness.
Call him John Laryngitis. You know, they were trademarking the terms Mr. Future Endeavor, WWE has.
They trademarked
this
that.
Week. Yeah. I guess that's what he's going to be known as, Mr. Future Endeavor.
Interesting. Oh, well, goodness here. So that was SummerSlam. If you didn't see it, I would say go out of your way to see it. I thought it was a good show.
With Punk losing the belt, and you know, to me it doesn't matter. You know, contrary to popular belief, you don't need the title to like be the top guy or to be a top guy. And Punk doesn't even need the title, to be honest with you. It works more with his gimmick than not have a championship.
There are some guys that need a title to get that push up towards the top echelon in the WWE, and honestly, Alberto was one of those guys.
Yeah,
he
needed way.
You know, he was he was right there on the edge, and to him, be his champion, that pushes him up closer to the top. People see him as a champion. They might not respect him as champion, but, you know, whatever. Some guys need a title to get over. Some guys like Punk, they don't need a title to get over. Triple H, he doesn't need a title to get over. John Cena, don't need a title to get over. Alberto Del Rio needed an extra shove, and him winning the title from CM Punk was the extra shove he needed to get him over.
Yeah. Punk's going into a feud with Triple H, I mean, it's not like he's been demoted or anything.
Oh, yeah. He's a step up from where he was, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed.
Absolutely. Well, you want to go ahead and wrap it up?
That is it for the news.
And that is it for the show.
I think that's it for the show. As Ed said, yes, please check out angrymarks.com. We've got some editorials. We've got shows. Check out angrymarks.com. Of course, check out my good friend Brian Alvarez's little website. Maybe you've heard of it, figure4online.com. And check your mail in the next coming couple weeks. If you ordered a T-shirt from us, we'll have those out very soon. And when I say we, I'm talking about me and myself. And please be patient. As soon as I get all the international orders out, it's going to take them a lot longer. You here in America, but as soon as I get them out, they'll be priority mail, and it'll only take about 2 or 3 days to get to you once it's in the mail. So check your mailboxes soon. And that's about it. Thanks for listening to our little show tonight. And why don't you give us some feedback? And if you liked this, make sure you stick it to Eddie on the board.
And if you didn't like this, please don't make fun of us, because we have mental issues when it comes to – we have inferiority complexes, so don't make fun of us too much.
Speak for yourself.
Just kidding.
So, yeah, check us out next week. Same – bad time, same bad channel, or something like that. I'm working on a guest for next week, but I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, so I'll just save that. And if not, we'll just have more news, and we'll banter back and forth like we did this week. So, one more time, hey Ed, I know you might listen back to this. Hope everything works out for you. My thoughts and my prayers are with you and your family, and hope everything works out, bud.
Ditto.
Hit the music.
Do we hit music when we end?
I think so. Hit the music.
Who's in the show? Can't find the music.
This is awkward.
I tell you, there's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's gym right here in Baltimore.
How's that?
Yeah, that works.
Take care, everybody.
Bye now.